The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know and have seen my Father." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but it is the Father who abides in me, who does these works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So in our conversation with Jesus this morning, he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." But we wake up every morning to trouble. There's international trouble, pick your place. Korea, Syria, various countries in Africa. There's national trouble. Pick your topic. Fear of newcomers, joblessness, hunger. And if I would ask and engage any of you in conversation, we all can find personal trouble. So we might think to Jesus, easy for you to say. But remember, this conversation he's having with his disciples and with us are only 3 days before his death, of which he was quite well aware. But today, we baptize. Our hearts cannot be troubled. Now, the trouble that Jesus is talking about is the fear that grips us when we feel abandoned or lost, when we have no place to call home, either literally or in someone else's heart. No place, no one to receive us, no one to give us regard and acceptance, no hope. I suggest such a fear is the bottom line dynamic of our country at the moment, perhaps of the world itself. Many do not feel part of our nation, part of the dream. Segments of our society never have felt part of it. Large numbers of people feel abandoned, disregarded, not accepted. It's economic, it's social, but at root, it's spiritual. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holying Spirit, is what binds us together, makes us one people in regard for one another. The Holy Spirit does not come to set us apart. but comes to unite. That's the very definition and understanding of the third person of the Trinity. The fearful reaction when we're worried about our own place in the world is to create a little space, but we do it so often by excluding and pushing others out. That long has been the sin of the U.S. society from the beginning with slavery and racism. It seems that it's erupting again in prejudice against immigrants, refugees, Muslims, others. But Jesus says, in God's house, there are many places, rooms for everybody. Jesus' work, his word from God, God's own will, is to prepare a place for everyone. And where is that place? In God, in God's own heart that we reflect today in baptism. And it is where Jesus came from in the first place and to which he is returning, he says. Jesus is taking everyone home. Baptism is one expression of that. We give thanks for it today. Now, it's not to say that Jesus didn't have a really tight, close-knit community of his own, a family of his own, those that he cared about very deeply and intimately. He had those disciples. And in a broader sense, all of you, followers, all of us gathered this day. But the work of his disciples, the work that we are called to, our work also, is to prepare a place for others, a place to abide, to be connected, to be intimately and deeply involved and regarded. Now, surely this means homes. Surely it means enough food to eat. Surely it means access to healing. But absolutely it means to live in peace, the grace, and the life of God, to use John's favorite word, Jesus's as well, it seems, to abide in God, to be intimately connected, to be one with God in forgiveness and the promise of life. Today we baptize. Today a place is prepared. For as Jonathan, I always say, you can't beat a baptism. And particularly, if it's your grandchild, you can. But in part, I say that because, you know, there's just, what can be bad about it? It's pure joy. A child, family, the welcome from all. Chewing on the hymnal. I mean, I'll remember that image forever. But it can't be beat, really, because baptism of this child, of all, is a cosmic event, a reflection of creation itself. It's about life itself. For today, a place is created in God for him, and he is called by God to carry on this creative work in the world, this life-giving event, by making a place for others. This is his purpose. This is our purpose. The greater work that Jesus announces that we will do. Greater works than I do, he says, that we will do. These are the works that we are called to bring others in to the heart, the forgiveness and welcome of God in faith. And we all made that promise today. We made it for Ez that we will support him. His family did, his sponsors did, and we all did. Aren't we also called to make that promise to one another and to those who are in need in the world? Today, as Jonathan finds a place in God's heart, not that he wasn't there before, but today in this sacrament, we underscore that reality, that truth, that promise of God. And God abides in his heart. No fear. Do not let your hearts be troubled. For when we are in relationship with God, with one another, fear does not rule. We may have troubles and problems in our lives, but they will not control us. They will not overcome us. They will not force us to exclude others and to be accepted ourselves by making others unacceptable. My dear family arrived on Wednesday, So I've been able to watch for the last couple of days and interact and see how my grandchild is so deeply attached already, well, 6 months, but already to his mother and father. Now we all say, sure, he's dependent, gotta be attached. But more deeply, he is related. He is connected. He is alive in them. He abides in them, abiding in life. Throughout our experience, throughout even social science, there's all sorts of stories, very sad ones, about children who receive all the external care they need. Food, clothing, shelter. But they fail to thrive because they do not abide. They do not abide with or in anyone. They are dying. But it's not a one-way street. Parents, already we can see how Tal and Jim abide in their son, in Ez. They are alive in him, in this relationship of caring, of truth, of creation, of understanding God's word that comes really through all of us in our calling. This relationship brings them out, makes them real, makes them alive. We hear in the Gospel of John that Jesus abides in God. Sometimes the words get kind of convoluted, but it's what it means. God is in Jesus, Jesus is in God. And he is so by doing God's will, which is to make a place, as I said earlier, for all people. But this also, interestingly, extraordinarily, spiritually, brings God out. Brings God into the world in a way perhaps not otherwise possible. In Jesus, we see God in baptism. We lift up the child, a child of God. So there is this deep relationship which brings life to the child, but also brings God and life into the open, into our relationship, a place for you, a place for God. This is the communal purpose conveyed upon this child, this day, the very purpose of the universe itself, to make a place for one another, to make a place for God. It is your purpose. It is your life. It is your calling. And when fear gets in the way, when death begins to rule, Jesus speaks, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not fear. For he comes out of a place for us. He carves out a place for us by bearing in his body and his spirit the fear and death that overcomes us and robs us of a place with God and others." As in baptism, fear, exclusion, death do not rule. But we rise again in forgiveness, in the promise, in the calling of life to life, with one another, with all others, with God, to abide. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.